Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Thanks, hon. Amazing. Thank you, Charity. Awesome. Man, God is so good. And so faithful. Amen? Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 26. And as we're turning there, let's just take a moment just to welcome the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and in our church. If you're online, in your home, in you right now as well, Lord, we just thank you so much for your Holy Spirit here in this place. That you dwell with your people. So right now in this room, every person watching today, in their houses or their workplace, or maybe in their car, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your presence is moving right now. And we just ask that you begin to soften our heart to your word. Lord, we don't want to come with a hard heart. We want to come with an open heart, a soft heart to you, your word, your revelation today. And we thank you. What follows? Joy, peace, provision, strength, healing. And we thank you for that. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen. Well, in Matthew chapter 26, there's a lot going on. And we're gonna start on verse 36. But this is when Jesus, he goes to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is a passage that maybe a lot of us know. We've read, we've looked at. But this is, you know, Jesus' final hour before he is crucified. You know, final hours, not final hour, but final hours before he is crucified. And how many of you would agree it's a pretty big moment? And when I read this, sometimes, I don't know about you, but in a moment we're going to read about the disciples, and I get kind of upset with the disciples. I'm like, how could you? You know, they go to the garden, and Jesus is like, hey, stay up with me and pray, and they fall asleep. And I read that, I'm like, come on, guys. You couldn't stay, like, this is important. And then I was reading this again, I realized, I was like, they don't actually know. They don't fully grasp or understand what's about to happen. They knew and understood. Jesus spoke of it. There was foreshadowing. He prepared them, but they didn't know it was going to happen so soon. And I was struck by that for my own life. Because I don't always treat the Holy Spirit with the urgency that I should. And I say this to preface what we're about to read because it's important in our life as we draw near to God, as we build on our relationship with Jesus, that we take what the Holy Spirit brings to us with a heart and a sense of urgency. I think if you would tell Peter, James, and John, hey, very soon, in fact, within hours from now, Judas is going to come. They're going to take Jesus. And he's going to be beaten, he's going to be flogged, and he's going to be hung on a cross. This is the last moment that you will have with Jesus before he's crucified. You think things would be different? I guarantee you. I don't care what it would have taken Peter, James, or John. They would not have fallen asleep. They would have been like poking each other, all right? They would have been taking it seriously. And so I preface that today because as we read it, I want us to look through that lens today and understand that how that, I don't know about you, but I can definitely say in my life there's been moments where I treat the Holy Spirit just like Peter, James, and John. And the Holy Spirit's like, hey, I just want you to do this, to listen, to be obedient. And I just fall asleep. And the Holy Spirit comes back. He's like, hey, don't fall asleep on this. Do it. And then I fall asleep. And then comes back again. Don't fall asleep on this. Wake up. And so, for me, I know it's a heart check as we read this today to say, hey, are we taking what the Holy Spirit calls us to do, what the Holy Spirit puts in our heart, the direction that we receive, and are we acting with a sense of urgency? So let's read this today, all right? Chapter 26, let's start in verse 36. It says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. And he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And he went on a little farther, and he bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples, and he found them asleep, and he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is what? Willing, but the body is what? Weak. Verse 42, then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. And verse 44, so he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. Then he came to the disciples and said, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. And so today, you know, I prefaced and started very strong, right, with some strong words. But I also want to remind us today of the grace that comes. And I love the next time that Jesus appears to Peter and the disciples, how beautiful it is. Because this is the moment this happens, and then Jesus is taken away, and Peter doesn't see him until the next time he sees Jesus. And if you'll recall, you can read about that, but Jesus comes to Peter. He says, cast your net. And I think it's so amazing how Jesus rolls, right? He does nothing by accident, everything on purpose. And it had to bring Peter back, right? To the first moment he met Jesus. And Jesus is like, hey, let's go fishing. And he's like, you got to be, are you serious? And I love Peter's response. He just does it this time. And he pulls in a huge load of fish. And he comes to the bank, and there's Jesus preparing, right? Jesus is always serving his disciples. It's remarkable. And he's making food for him, and Peter comes up, and Jesus, what does he do? Jesus, in his amazing grace and love, I believe that those three moments, he says, hey, do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah. And it's like Jesus was like giving him this moment of like, I know you do. And I know you betrayed me. You know, those three times you denied me. You said, no, I don't know him. But I know you love me. And there's just like this moment, I don't, to be a fly on the wall, right? But the reason I bring that up is I just want to remind us too of the grace, the love, and the strong desire that Jesus has to simply have a relationship with you, with I. And how good that is. Okay? So, Matthew 26. Let's look at verse 41. This is one that I want to focus on today. And it says, watch and pray. This is Jesus speaking. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the word watch there, it means be vigilant. You know, it comes from a root meaning to awaken or arouse from multiple different things, from rest, from death, from inactivity. And so for a lot of us in the room, that should be the start, okay? That's the beginning. And this scripture really gives us a start and a finish, okay? And if you read this scripture, hey, if you want to stay out of temptation, if you don't want to fall asleep at the will, this is what you do. First part, watch, be vigilant, and awaken. Awaken yourself. What's a good way to awaken yourself? Get in the presence of God. Start reading your word. Worship him. Take your eyes off of you. Put your eyes on him. Your eyes off of your situation, your problem. Put your eyes on him. That's a really good way to wake up. Amen? And then it says, watch and pray. One of the most, I would say, in church, if we were to say maybe one of the most basic things, but then something that we don't always talk about or explain, you know? You ever been told you need to pray more? How many of you ever got frustrated by that? Somebody like, yeah, you told me. But we understand, I think all of us at the root of our relationship with God, we understand that spending time with him is important. Not only is it important, but it's pivotal in developing a relationship with him. And prayer is a key. And what is prayer? Prayer is humbly coming before your King, recognizing who he is, giving praise and thanks for what he has done, what he is doing, what he's going to do, and then bringing before him. You know, it says, cast your cares, your burdens on him. I love Jesus. He says, come to me, all who are burdened, heavy laden. And I love, again, how the Message Bible says it. If you walk with me, I will show you the unforced rhythms of grace. I just love that. I love that. But what does that mean? You have to go walk with him. You can't, I mean, we've talked about this, but you can't go walk and say, Jesus, you should come walk with me, all right? It doesn't work that way, all right? Although some of us would like to try to make it work that way. But that's us trying to put the Holy Spirit into a box to follow our way. We've got to switch it. We've got to align ourselves with him. Amen? But when we do that, we fall into unforced rhythms of grace. That's so good, all right? And so prayer is important, all right? So watch, pray. And then what does it say here? It says that the Holy Spirit is willing. And that comes from two root words. The first one is before, or in front of. And the second is passion and fierceness. Passion and fierceness. That the Holy Spirit is ready. The Holy Spirit is prepared, ready to go to war, to fight on your behalf, to work on your behalf. Do all the heavy lifting. Have you ever tried to lift something that's really heavy that you can't lift, and then you figure out that, hey, I could use physics to help me? Anybody? Anybody ever used a pulley before? All right? Crazy, right? Anybody ever try to pull a stump out of the ground or a rock out of the ground? Or like, so I do construction a lot, you know. So like if I'm building a fence, you got to tear out the old fence posts. Yeah, that's fun. That's pretty cool. You dig out around this. There's this concrete in there. And then my dad and I, we put a chain around that, okay, at the lowest part. And then we would put a 2x4 underneath, okay? And we would make a lever, and we'd pop that thing out, right? And you could sit there on that fence post and just, and, you know, have 7 hernias. Or you can get physics working on your behalf, right? And when you get physics working on your behalf, what changes? Everything changes, actually. And I use that picture. You could use a lot of different pictures, okay? But the important piece is the fact that the Holy Spirit will do all the heavy lifting for you if you allow the Holy Spirit to do that. But so many times, if we're not careful, we fight the Holy Spirit. And maybe we're not even, we don't think that we're fighting the Holy Spirit, but we're trying to do it our own way. Or again, we fall asleep at the wheel and say, you know, I got this. How many of you have ever tried to say, I got this, right? And you do it for a while on your own, and then you come around, and you allow the Holy Spirit to intervene, and God move on your behalf, and you're like, man, I could have done that a lot sooner, a long time ago, and yet here I am. So we can either keep on doing that, or we can learn from our mistakes, and we can change, amen? And one of the most important things is to remember that the Holy Spirit is always willing. Because there are people right now, maybe in this room or maybe watching online, and you're like, well, the Holy Spirit is willing, but there's just some stuff I've got to clean up or got to fix first. And the reality is this, that as soon as we reach out and ask the Holy Spirit to come, the Holy Spirit is available and ready and willing. The Holy Spirit, because many of us have experienced, but the Holy Spirit can change your heart in an instant. Zacchaeus, how many of you ever heard that? How many of you sang the Zacchaeus song? Zacchaeus was a wee little... Anybody ever sang that? Raise your hand high if you have sang that song. All right, cool. Zacchaeus. Anybody ever seen Zacchaeus on a flannel board? Let's go. Come on, somebody. Anybody? Am I the only person that have seen Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus on a flannel board? Thank you, Luke. Howard has? Sheila has? You know what a flannel board... Who doesn't know what a flannel board is? Really? Okay. So a flannel board, I'm going to tell you what it is. All right, so... It's like felt. Yes, it's felt. We call it a flannel board. I don't know why. Felt board? Am I just obnoxious and don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, anyway. But yeah, okay, felt. There's a felt board. And then you had these little, when I grew up in church, there was these little characters that stuck to the flannel board. All right, made out of fabric. Samson, long-haired, big muscles. Yeah. There was this really cool one. I was like playing with the whale that ate Jonah. Because the whale... was like you could actually put Jonah inside the whale. It was awesome. So I would put a bunch of stuff in Jonah. You know what I'm talking about? So Because to me as a kid, I'm like, you know that Jonah was in there, but it wasn't just Jonah, you know? And then we finally got, you know, a beautiful portrayal in VeggieTales, and we really got to see what was really going on. You know, there's got to be at least like one VW bug. Wait, this is Jonah. So like an old, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff in there, you know? There's this random crate of TNT, and so I would just find things from the classroom and put it in the whale. Then my teacher's trying to teach Jonah, and she's like, what is going on with this whale? Anyway, that has nothing to do with anything, and the felt board has nothing to do with anything, but I thought it was good. But Zacchaeus is a phenomenal, phenomenal story of the Holy Spirit's power to transfer and change in an instant. Because Zacchaeus was a broken man. He was broken. He was corrupt. No one wanted anything to do with Zacchaeus. I don't have time to maybe do a whole sermon about Zacchaeus, even though it is probably my favorite message in the Bible. But Zacchaeus, no one wanted. And he climbs up on a tree. I mean, how desperate do you have to be? You're a grown man. You jump up on a tree to what? Just to see him. Just to see Jesus. I love that. And I love Jesus because this is just like Jesus. Because the Bible says to knock, and he's there. Another version says, just open the door because he's there. And what is Zacchaeus? That's exactly what Zacchaeus does when he climbs up on the tree, just to get a glimpse. And what does Jesus say? Come out, come on down. And Jesus knew what he was doing. He was fraternizing with the enemy, all right? He was hanging out with the enemy because Zacchaeus was the enemy of the people. And in that moment, Zacchaeus completely changes and Jesus recognizes the actual change of heart that happens. He says, today, this man today is now a part of my family. And you know, every Pharisee, Sadducee, every religious bone in the area shrieked, I guarantee you, at that moment. Everybody's like, you no way. And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. So it doesn't matter where you think you are right now. I want to remind you where you are. And you are one moment away from being in right standing with God. 1 second, split second away. Because all you have to do is turn to him. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. And it's because he's always willing. He's always willing. And then it says, the Spirit's always willing, but what does it say about the flesh? It's weak. It's weak. And we know what weak is, right? But sometimes it's good to hear. It's the absence of power. It's the absence of power. So the Holy Spirit is what? Always willing and always full of power. But the flesh is what? It is always weak. It's always powerless. Does that make sense? And why is that important? Well, I think we could think of a lot of reasons why it's important in our life. The Holy Spirit's always ready to fight, always ready to move, always ready to heal, always ready to provide, always ready to move on our behalf. And the flesh is powerless and prone to failure. And if you read the Gospels, Jesus is always trying to teach the disciples this. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not try to figure it out on your own. Don't try to lean on your flesh. Don't try to, all of that stuff. Lean on me. Have faith. And the Holy Spirit will come and work on your behalf. Over and over and over again, he's trying to teach him this. And they're like trying to rack their brain to figure out what he's talking about over and over and over again. He says parable after parable after parable over and over again. Jesus is like the most patient teacher. How many times you got to say something? Many times, all right? Many times. And that's just what we read. Can you imagine? Like, this is just like, Luke was probably the most like detail-oriented of all the Gospels. And just think of how many things weren't put in there. Think of how many times Jesus had to be patient with the disciples. Think about how many times Jesus is patient with us. Amen. And I think about Peter walking on water. We all know that story really well. A lot of us, I would say, you know, the disciples are in a boat. Jesus comes walking on water. Everybody's like, it's a ghost. And then Jesus is like, it's me. And they're like, it's Jesus. And Peter's like, if it's really you, call me out. I love Peter. He like spoke and thought later. It got him in a lot of trouble, right? But in this moment, something miraculous happens. And Jesus is like, get out of the boat. And Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts, walking on water? And then he starts sinking. Why does he start sinking? Because it says he starts looking at the storm and the crashing waves and everything around him. Why? Because the flesh is weak. Because the flesh is weak. He instantly starts looking at all this, the surroundings, the situations, the circumstance, the fleshly stuff. And he gets his eyes off of what? Jesus. And what does Jesus say? He picks him up and he's like, why did you do that? Why'd you do that, man? Like, you were doing just fine. And it says that they walked back together. It says that they walked back together. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I love that picture because it shows us that, because how many of you have been in a moment where your eyes are on the Holy Spirit? And then something happens. And flesh kicks in. And you fail. And many times, this is what the devil will want to do. He'll want to keep you down. So he throws guilt, shame, all of these things at you to keep you down. And Jesus just says, hey, come on. All right, let's go. And they keep on going. And we want to sometimes just look and focus on what we did wrong. And Jesus is trying to move on. Amen. Jesus is trying to move on, and we're like, well, I really messed up, and I just really, and we're over here overthinking our sin and our shame and our guilt instead of just walking in freedom. And somebody needs to hear that today, because you just keep on walking in your shame and your guilt. And Jesus is like, can we get moving? Can we just go do what we're supposed to do? Can you imagine what happened in Peter on the walk back to the boat? Can you just imagine what happened? Man, when he got into the boat, I guarantee you something was different about Peter. I just guarantee you. Praise the Lord. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Faith as small as a what? A mustard seed. A mustard seed. Pastor Mike's already reaching his pocket. I wasn't even going to do that, but Pastor Mike has a coin with a mustard seed on it. Pastor Mike, go ahead and hold it up. Everybody look back there. Can you see that? You can see the coin, right? You can't see the mustard seed, all right? If you're watching online, there's no way you can see it. We could get the world's best lens, all right? And there's no way you're ever going to see it from there. I'm going to tell you right now, a mustard seed is so tiny. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain. Luke hears this. He's instantly like, oh, let me go back to my, what do you call that thing? Like not a calculator, but back then you have the little abacus. I was going to say that. I just sounded like there's no way that's what it's called. But yeah. Luke's like, let me go back to my abacus. According to my calculations, you know, no, there's no way. There's no way. And Jesus is in this constant fight with his disciples to try to teach them that it's not about your flesh. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what you see. It's about what the Holy Spirit will lead you to do. And when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, if you do it in faith, you can do anything. A mountain can be moved. And I love reading Acts because it's like all these moments where it's like clicking. Right? Peter's walking to the temple, which they did all the time, and they walk by this guy that's been lame, the lame beggar. He's been lame his whole life, which means he showed up there all the time, which means Peter has passed him how many times? So many times. Over and over and over again, over and over and over again, over and over and over again, over and over and over again. And then one day, wait a minute, that's not right. How many of you ever had a moment like that? The Holy Spirit's just like, ding, you know? And something goes off, and Peter is so urgent in what he does. Do you recognize that? Peter, it says that he looks at the guy, he's like, hey, and the guy looks up at him, and he knows, Peter knows that the guy is expecting coins. And he looks at the guy, he's like, gold, silver, I have none. But what I do have, in the name of Jesus, get up. And it says he grabs him and lifts him up. So the next thing that happens is either going to be really good or really bad. Because when he lets go of the guy's hand, he's either going to look like a complete jerk, all right, right? Or the man's going to be healed. And we know the man is healed. There's all these moments where it starts to click. And for us, we're on that same journey. Holy Spirit, just, there are things that click. You're like, oh, and we have to be urgent, have a sense of urgency when those things happen. Casting the nets. This first moment, Jesus comes and is choosing the disciples, and he looks out, and there's these guys fishing. Peter's an expert fisherman. He's been fishing all day, can't catch anything. And then he says, hey, go cast your nets again on the other side of the boat. And Peter must have been like, what are you thinking? I love that Peter does it. I don't really know what's going on totally in that moment, but something is happening, right? Because we know Peter, he's a pretty rough guy, pretty wild and crazy. And for whatever reason, he's like, okay, and he does it. And I love that Jesus, the first moment that he's about to call Peter to be a disciple, that he performs a miracle that's just ridiculous. Isn't that cool? This crazy miracle that's just absolutely ridiculous. He says, "Won't you come follow me?" Who's going to say no, right? Like, that's like the craziest thing. And I love it because Jesus meets him right where he's at. Isn't that good? He meets him right where he's at. He meets him right, the very thing that Peter does all the time. Every day, he goes out over and over and over again. Fishing, 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 day in and day out. And then one moment, Jesus walks on the scene and he gets more fish than he's ever gotten in one catch in his life. And then this guy says, "Hey, follow me." He's like, "Yeah." Duh. Wasn't hard, right? And then what does he say to Peter? "I'm going to teach you how to be a fisher of men." And again, I don't know, but something had to happen. Something happened in Peter, I think, in that moment. I truly believe, because we watch Peter in his role in the church, in the early church, and how pivotal it is. Jesus even says that "I will build, you'll be the rock that I will build my church on." I believe in that moment, it was the very thing that God had put inside of him, the purpose. And then when Jesus said it, it was like, yes, that's what I want. How did you know? No one ever would think me, Peter, would want something like that. A fisherman by trade. But you knew that. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is always seeking to move through us. Move in and through us. Always. Always. The Holy Spirit doesn't take naps. We take naps. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to sleep, but we sleep. The Holy Spirit doesn't get hungry, but we get hungry. Some of us are hungry right now. Amen. The Holy Spirit is always, 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 always ready. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, you can read King David. It says, "When kings go off to battle, David stayed home." At a time when kings go off to battle, David, he stayed home. And then what is to follow is one of the greatest spirals of sin that we read in the Bible. And I say spiral because it's just like, you read it and you're like, what are we doing, man? Like, he goes out to the roof to take a stroll. Just taking a stroll out on the roof. Oh, look over there. There's Bathsheba. Just taking a shower. Hey. He's like, that's what I want. He listens to his flesh. Right? And where did it all begin? At a time when he was supposed to be vigilant. At a time when he was supposed to be going out for battle. At a time when he was supposed to represent the kingdom of God, Jerusalem. The very thing that God said, hey, you're in charge of this. He says, nah. I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to take a season off. It's okay. And what's the next thing that happens? Bathsheba, affair, has her husband killed. Lies after lies after lies after lies. Why? Because he fell asleep at the wheel. And I keep using that analogy. You might be like, why do you keep using that? Because how many of you know how to drive? Raise your hand if you know how to drive. Raise your hand if you drove here today. So when you fall asleep at the wheel, it's not the fact that you don't know how to. You just fell asleep. And how many of us said, God says to do something, you're like, I just don't know how. Stop it. Stop it. The Holy Spirit will lead you, will guide you. If he told you to do it, isn't he going to give you the resources and the know-how to be able to figure it out? Absolutely. Why would he give you something like, here, go figure it out. Oh, by the way, you don't have anything you need to do it. In fact, you're just going to fail. What? What? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. Stay vigilant. Amen? Stay vigilant. Stay vigilant. Keep watch. Pray. So that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And urgency. Urgency. I know I started, I'm going to end with this, but if Peter, James, and John knew what was about to take place, I really don't believe they would have fallen asleep. I just don't. And so for me in my life, when the Holy Spirit says to do something, do I say like, well, it can wait. It doesn't have to be, I'll get another chance. It doesn't have to be right now. Urgency is important. Obeying right away, doing what the Holy Spirit does. And will you get it right every time? No. You won't. And for some of us, you're like, how dare you say that? But I say that just because it's real. When you live a life following the Holy Spirit, you will, every once in a while, you'll maybe miss something. But I don't know about you, but I know this, that if I keep listening and keep following and keep being obedient, more and more and more and more, I will recognize the voice of God in my life. And I will fail less and less and less and less and less. And in doing so, I will be drawn to him. I will be closer to Jesus in understanding who he is, his love for me. When Jesus works through you to show someone else love, the love that you experience through that is unmatched. And talk about preaching to the choir, all right? Our church does things for people all the time. It's incredible. It's inspiring to me. I am in shock, in awe all the time. And why do we do it? Well, because that's what God has called us to do. But when we do it too, man, you are drawn into the very tapestry of who God is when you show other people love and care. Like Jesus loves them, when you show them a glimpse of that, you experience him like you've never experienced before. And the same is true across the board. God is longing for us. He is longing. He is longing for a relationship with you, with me, with every person. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. And so in today, as we close, we're gonna play a song. Nick, I did not tell you this, so I'm sorry. But Nick, I know you can handle this. So Not worried. If you're watching on a live stream, we can't play this song because we'll get copyright infringement. So what I would encourage you, if you're watching online, to just take a moment to, and we are working on that, by the way, so don't worry. But if you're watching online, just take a moment and just throw a worship song and just get in the presence of God. That's what we're going to do here in this room. And we're going to officially dismiss here in just a minute, but we're going to just put a song on. And we're just going to take some time to be in his presence today. And you can take as long as you want. There's no, like, pass, fail, or anything like that, all right? But what I would encourage you to do is something really simple today, okay? Let's just simplify it, okay? Let's just simplify it. Keep watching, pray, so that you don't give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So, what is watch? Wake up. Come humbly before him. And recognize that the Holy Spirit's willing right now to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. And then to shut the flesh out. And so, I don't know how long that will take. That's between you and God today. So, Nick, whatever you want there. I trust you. You cool with that? Let's put you on the spot. Thumbs up. Yeah, you ready, baby? Yeah, let's go. We're going to play this. We're going to officially dismiss. If you want prayer, you can come up front. But I would really encourage you, before you come up for prayer, to take some time in this and just worship. Get in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to move on your behalf. If you're online, you know what to do. Go find a little bit of time right now. Just do that. Put a worship song on or something like that. And let's do that. Can we do that? All right, go ahead, Nick.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we'd love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.